I was in Guatemala this week. Another story about that later. But I got an email with the video, and I hit play, and I watched that, and I said, this is what happens when I go out of town. So how many, I'm just curious, how many of you have an Alexa or a voice-activated something in your home? I'm just curious, how many of you? Raise your hand, just see. Okay, how many of you who have one argue with it? Yes, we do, because it's artificial intelligence, but right now it's just starting. It's mostly artificial, isn't it? It can't answer a meaningful question. I say, Alexa, help me with the sermon. She's useless. You know, there's no way. I ask Alexa to order things from Amazon.com, though, and it's amazing what can happen, right? It's just, we're at the very beginning of this, but we're on the cusp of things being voice activated. And how cool is this? It's like living in Star Trek, isn't it? It's great. I can say Alexa this or Alexa that. And of course, it's technology. It's a little at the mercy of how we use it. I decided that we have an Alexa and then we have some dots around the house. And I discovered that when I tell Alexa, Alexa, play a song everywhere, she plays it in every room of the house. And so for Lent, I decided that as part of a joke at Lent in our house, that we should listen to a song by the Village People for the next 46 days. And as Deborah was getting ready in our bathroom, I'd say, Alexa, play YMCA everywhere. And she did. And I have to say, we did that for 46 days. The garage is a little cold and uncomfortable to sleep in. But it's amazing, isn't it? You can just say to this, do that. Change the thermostats in my house. Yes, tell me a Wikipedia article about this. And we're just on the cusp of being able to speak and have these amazing things done. Think of the world our confirmands are going to grow up in. It's going to be astonishing. They're going to be able to speak a word and then things happen. And this is one of those areas where God has shared with us a power that's not exactly like God's. We'll talk about that in a second. But it is highly similar in the sense that we have the ability, the talent, the gift to speak and through our word make things happen. And it has always been so. This is a case of the technology catching up to what God has given us all along. We've always had the capacity to do this. I mean, just think about it. Remember, if I speak a word in love to my spouse, I have the ability to create a moment there. If I speak, when I have the chance to speak with my son or my daughter, and I have a chance to say a word, it's amazing the power that has. You and I have the most astonishing talent that God has given us, this ability to speak a word. And while there is a difference in that God can speak a word and out of nothing something comes, that's a power that only God has. This is a gift that has been remarkably shared with us in that we have the capacity to speak a word and through it change so much. And the challenge I'm going to put before us today, and not only today, but through this series, is I'm a big believer, as you know, in that the Holy Spirit guides us and creates moments which, if we're aware of and we speak that word, so much changes. Relationships are healed. Forgiveness is extended. Hearts are mended. It's amazing what can happen at just a word. And so there's going to be a time, either today or this week or the course of this series, where the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And there is going to be a moment where you have the chance to say something. And if you step into that moment, God will be with you and what you create will be of His kingdom. But if we miss that moment, there's so much that's lost. The word that needs to come out of your mouth that God is asking you to say, could today be the day where you actually say it? Or this week, the conversation that you need to have, could that happen? And just consider the power that God has given us and this ability to create from a word. Jesus had this too, of course, and I think he enjoyed it when he realized we also shared it. Jesus has an encounter with a Roman centurion, and the Roman centurion is asking for Jesus' help, for him to heal Jesus, a member of the centurion's household. And so they have a conversation, and the centurion says to Jesus, "Look, I know who you are, and I know that your power is far greater than mine. I have people who serve under me, soldiers, and I give an order, and they do it, and the soldiers under them do it. I know," he says to Jesus, "that if you speak the word, it'll be done." And Jesus says of the soldier, "I have not found such faith in Israel." Jesus was taken aback by his understanding of not just who Jesus is and not just who he was as a servant of Jesus, but also the power both had to speak a word. And I think it's at that realization of Christ's power, of God's power being shared with us to an extent that Jesus enjoyed and rejoiced in that conversation, and then he speaks and makes it happen. So this is a moment, this is a passage where if we read it, we are mistaken to think that this is God's privilege alone. We have tremendous capacity to create. And so I would ask you, what are you doing? What are you bringing into being with this ability to say a word, the power of our faith, the relationship we have in Christ? What are you bringing into being? Tell a little story. So we have a family, First Methodist Houston, who felt very convicted to help restore a house, rebuild a house, build a new house for a family that was devastated by the hurricane last fall, Harvey. And they felt just a call upon it. So they began to pray about it, make some things happen. And they enlist some other friends they have, both in the church and beyond. And lo and behold, if you've been with us, our Harvey house, this house is being built. The staff went out there a couple weeks ago and we were laying floor. I know much more about laminate floor than I ever knew before. In case you have need, I can provide. And it was great. But the Holy Spirit was also sending us sort of signs along the way that this is something God needs done. And this is why I say, when we bring something into being, what the Holy Spirit does is amazing. You met Oscar Siviero just a moment ago, and we had a moment where we needed some tile in the house. And so there's a conversation going on, and Oscar found a way to, or he knew some people who had some extra tile. And so there's a conversation about getting this tile to the house, and he asks, or he calls over and he says, "How many tiles do we need?" And the answer came back, it's like, "We need 43 to finish this area that we're working on." And they said, "How many, Oscar, how many tiles do you have?" And so we counted them, said, "Don't need to go count them." Counts them when he comes back. Guess how many he had? 43. Now, some might say that's coincidence. Some might say that that's just, you know, a random fact or random detail about the universe, not particularly important. And I would disagree, in the sense that when we're creating something, when we're building a house out of a response to God's call, when somebody is moved and they speak and they talk to their friends, I believe the Holy Spirit shows up left and right, giving us signs along the way, encouragement, providing, so that as we go through this, we know that God goes through this with us. And how encouraging it is to be that kind of people. People say, "Andy," in fact, I had coffee with people, you know, during Lent, 40 cups of coffee during the 40 days. This was sort of penance for my village people experience earlier in the mornings. But one person asked me, because I had coffee with non-believers as well, a handful. And one of them was talking to me very frank. It's like, "Andy, I don't believe a word that comes out of your mouth." And it's like, "Well, you know, I'm okay." And we kept talking. But later in the conversation, he asked me a direct question. He said, "Andy, you say from time to time that God speaks to you. Do you really think that that's true?" And I say, "Yes." And the reason I do is because when you read the gospel stories, when you read the biblical witness, and then you start living it out and doing things, creating things like Harvey House, and you're in the midst of that, the witness and the voice of God is all around you. It's undeniable. That's why I say, when we practice this faith, when we live it out, when we take the words, the gift we have to create, and we use it, it's amazing what can happen. It's powerful. It's convicting. Others see it. And even if they don't believe, they look at those who do and say, "I don't know what that is, but oh, how I want to know more." This power You have to speak, to bring the word, to live it out is amazing. And God is calling you to do that either for the first time or a greater way today. Yesterday, Deborah and I had the chance to catch the Hamilton musical at Hobby Center. And so we're watching it, and it was really, really good, and not quite as good as the sacred music of First Methodist Houston, but a contender nonetheless. And so I'm watching this, and I don't want to give any of it away, but it's an innovative musical. It's all done, or almost all done, in rap. And so, like, they start rapping the lyric, and this is like, this is pretty cool. And then I had a thought. It's like, you know, I wonder if we could rap an anthem at First Methodist Houston. I think Terry's got some rhymes in there. I'm thinking it. But then the choir thought that was funny. You all did not, but they are belly laughing up there. But then I thought, no, that's just a word from Andy. There's no word from the Lord on that. But the musical is there's one kind of key song that returns over and over, and it's about taking your shot. It's like, I'm not going to throw away my shot. And it's a song, it's a lyric, it's about opportunity. And that when the opportunity comes, it's extremely important to take it. There are also, in Hamilton, it's funny to me, references musically to rap songs that are popular in the culture. And in rap music today, one of the persistent themes that you'll hear about is getting opportunity. And when opportunity comes, it is important for us to take our shot. And as I was listening to the musical and just kind of, you know, daydreaming about some things and thinking about the scripture today, we would be amiss not to kind of think about and to pray about that sort of idea. And that if we really believe that God has shared to a great extent this creative power, and that we, like our God, have the chance to bring things into being that were not before, right? Then the question becomes, how do we use it? And what I would say is, the Spirit is working in all of us to create moments that when it comes, we will know, and it is extraordinarily important that we take our shot and say the word. When I talk to people who are frustrated about their faith, or if they're just, they feel like they're kind of God's at one place and they're in another, what I'll often find in talking with folks or praying with folks is that there has been something God has been asking for from them for quite some time, but they haven't said it. They haven't done it. They haven't crossed the room. They haven't said the word. And because they haven't, their relationship is stuck. And it's because God is putting a moment before them, but they're not stepping in. That's why I say it's important that if we really believe that God has given us this power, that we've got to step in when the moment comes and say the word, give the witness, offer the prayer. So when you have a thought this week about, I should say something to that person, or I should write a thank you note, or I should send something encouraging, you need to follow through. Because while it may be just your voice, perhaps that's possible, it may very well be the Holy Spirit coming through you. And if you were to follow that and step in it, take your shot, the kingdom will be before you. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I was out of town this week. I was in Guatemala, and I'm on the board of an orphanage there called Casa Aleluya, which is a children's home / orphanage that has kids that are just a few days old, all the way to college graduates, kids attending college in Guatemala City. And currently there's a little over 300 kids in this orphanage. I've been before, been many times. I've taken mission teams there, and it's just one of those spots, like scripture has, and things like the call of Moses, where Moses sees the burning bush. It's just one of those spots that's sacred ground, or at least to me. Because every time I go, I'm just amazed at what God and His people through faith can create. The founder of Casa Alleluia is a guy named Mike Clark, a Cajun from Louisiana. His office at Casa Alleluia is painted purple and gold in honor of LSU. Isn't that horrible? You know, this is the I preach, you listen segment of the worship service. This is my moment, not yours. We all know that it should be blue and white for the Dallas Cowboys. We all know that. Yeah, that's right. I love you too. Back to Mike Clark. Cajun guy. Comes to Guatemala in his mid-40s, actually. Out of a response for a call someday, I hope maybe... He's actually not a mission that we support here at First Methodist Houston. Praying about that. But someday, I'd love to have him here. And just have you hear the story of how he started Casa Alleluia. One of the things, and this is a story he tells, is that it was in the early years of the orphanage, and they received a kid, and the way kids come to the orphanage, I mean, it's people with children on their arm banging on the door in the middle of the night. You know, it's just moving, powerful. It's just out of desperation, families and people and police officers with abandoned kids are just coming, bringing kids to CASA because they don't know where else to take them. And Mike said, I'm going to start this orphanage. If you call to do it. So he created this and he starts this orphanage and kids come. And in the early years, there was a little boy, about 6 years old, kidney failure in the kid. This is a huge problem. In this area of Guatemala where they are, statistically, renal failure among children is just off the charts. And LSU actually has a medical team there now surveying, trying to find out why, and maybe because of a mixture of things, poverty, diet, when you're eating 40 corn tortillas a day, is that what happens? But anyway, for whatever the reasons, we pray they'll be determined, but kidney failure among kids is high. So a kid in renal failure shows up at the orphanage. They are not equipped to handle this at all. There's really not any medical facility that's even you can get to that does. And he was very advanced, and he said, the only thing I could do was to hold that child. And I told them this, that you're going to know the love of Jesus before you die. And when that day comes, you're going to be surrounded by people who love you. The kid's name was Genesis. And today, at Casa Alleluia, there is the Genesis house. And in it are 12 beds, all of whom are filled by kids who have kidney failure. There are dialysis machines next to them. There are nurses that sleep beside them in two shifts, 24/7. And they are cared for. They have also, some of the kids receive kidney transplants so that they have a new lease on life. There are two of those kids currently at the orphanage now. And when I asked Mike, because I remember the first time I stepped into the little house, saw these 12 beds, saw the kids, saw the dialysis machines. I just looked at Mike Clark in disbelief and I said, how did you do this? I said, how did you do this? And he said, when I held Genesis and Genesis passed away, I just looked up to God and said, if you will give me a way, I will create something here so that this does not have to happen again. And last week, I was in that house, Genesis house, and there's an 8-year-old girl. She's on dialysis. I'm coming in just to say hello. And I reach down and I introduce myself in Spanish and ask her her name. She tells me her name. And then through her surgical mask, I can see her smile. At that moment, God spoke a word. You have to help. You have to do something. You have to respond. Look at what I have done here. Look at what God has made happen. Look at what people of faith have made occur. And to have a moment like that is amazing. And you realize just how breathtaking it is that this ability to create and respond in faith is ours. And when you see what it does, it's awesome. That's why I say, I don't know where it is for you. I don't know where the Spirit is going to guide you. But I do know that Jesus is alive and He's talking. And if you hear His word and respond to it and let it shape you, then you will be amazed at where the Lord takes you. I'm going to extend Mike Clark an invitation to come and talk to us. We're going to provide a translator for those who don't speak Louisianan. It'll be all right. But it's just amazing to hear what people have done when they respond to the call, to the voice of God that God has placed upon their life. And I believe that every single one of you has that same calling. God is speaking your name. There is a word for you. And if you open yourselves up to the Spirit, let the word flow through you, what can happen is astonishing. Sometimes when I'm up here and getting ready for the service, if I'm doing the announcements or whatever, and I just kind of sit here and I just try to let the Holy Spirit take my thoughts. And as you guys come in, I just ask the question. I say, what if every talent, what if every spiritual gift that God has given everyone in this room, what if it developed to its maximum potential? What if every single person in here flourished to the fullest extent possible, nurtured by the Holy Spirit, guided and shaped by God's word, creating the ministries and the people and the words and all the things that God is asking each one of us to do? I wonder what the church would look like if we were just maxed out in all the ways in which God designed us to flourish. What I want to ask you to do, among the other challenges today, is to join me in that prayer. What if you, me, all those around us today, every gift was developed to its fullest extent? My guess is for us to do that, we're going to have to create something. And that God's going to ask something for us. Say a word. Take an action. Do a thing. Volunteer. Step up. Serve in some way. But there is a moment that God is calling each of us towards. And it's just imperative that we keep our eyes open, that we listen for that voice. And when the Holy Spirit comes, we say the word and we take our shot, because there is a kingdom Christ is building and He's inviting us to share in it. It's an invitation that He is just so anxious, so eager, so excited for us to accept. I pray that at First Methodist Houston, all of us do. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank You for today. We've seen so much evidence of Your love and grace today through our young men and women in confirmation. What gifts they are. We pray again for them and just ask, as Your church, that You would equip us to be the support, the guidance, the love, the wisdom, whatever it is they may need. We pray this morning for the word. We've been in the opening words of Your book. And there we see, we marvel, we rejoice as light comes into being. And that light is exactly still what You are. To guide, direct, we pray we would look for it. Be with us as we launch upon this idea of just being activated by Your voice. And help us, as we've talked about before, just to be ready. Because You're going to speak our name. You're going to say a word. And it's so important that we, as people of faith, step into that moment, open our mouth, open our lips, and proclaim Your praise, rejoicing in whatever it is that You are calling us towards. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and as God's people, the Holy Church, we pray Jesus' words as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing.